You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In its first full term with a six-justice conservative majority, the Supreme Court in the US spent the last few days of their sitting issuing far-reaching decisions that will transform American life. Last week, we spoke about the court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, leaving abortion rights up to states to decide. They also ruled in the case of West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency, which held that the Obama-era Clean Power Plan exceeded the US EPA's authority under the Clean Air Act. Kevin Tremberth was involved in the earlier stages of this case prior to it heading to the Supreme Court, and I spoke to him about what this ruling told us and what it means for climate change in the future.
It was a very strange ruling in the sense that it seemed to violate previous examples, which they're not supposed to do, and they introduced what was called a major questions doctrine, which says that if the Congress hasn't been extremely explicit in their bills that they pass in terms of guidance, then it's not valid. And that can almost never happen when you're dealing with the future. And they've used that in several cases recently, including the women's rights one, dealing with abortion rights, and also with guns on the East Coast. And, you know, they violated precedents. And the problem is that it's very, very difficult for Congress to be that explicit because of all of the politics that are involved and the huge amount of money and lobbying that occurs in the Congress. It's absolutely incredible. I don't think people in New Zealand understand how much money is involved in lobbying in the United States.
I just wanted to talk about the history of this case, starting with Barack Obama's Clean Power Plan. What was that, and how did it end up here in the Supreme Court?
Yes, I was a little bit involved in some aspects of that, and it stemmed from the attempts to reduce pollution, in particular from coal-fired power plants, but more generally. And the plans that were developed over quite a long period of time under the Obama administration went out for two major reviews, and there were, I recall, 30 or 40,000 sets of comments that they had to deal with from the public. I mean, it's a very open process, and many of us made comments and suggestions, and so they sort of ran out of time in many ways before it really got implemented. But you know, the writing was on the wall, and the companies, electric companies, were generally moving away from using coal for electricity generation. And but the result of all of this was, I thought, a rather incredible plan. It could be tuned for each individual state. It had very flexible kinds of things in the plan. Its aims were for more efficient coal plants, more effective use of gas plants, certainly promoting increased renewables, and there was a whole section that dealt with improving efficiency so that there's, you know, fewer losses and less need for heat and electricity. And I thought it was a quite remarkable plan, and it should satisfy the Republicans. But, you know, once the Trump administration was in power, they repudiated it entirely and passed an alternative version, which was then struck down by the District of Columbia Circuit Court, U.S. Court of Appeals. And that was then what the Supreme Court was recently ruling on, even though the Clean Power Plan was not in effect. And they're not supposed to rule on things that are not in effect. That's part of their original guidance. And so that, again, was very surprising and violated the way in which the court has worked in the past.
Yeah, so you were also involved in the earlier stages of this case prior to it getting to the Supreme Court. What was that process like? Do you feel as though judges and lawmakers are listening to the science instead of engaging in politics?
Yeah, so I was involved in filing what is called an amicus brief. I mean, I was just one of a fairly large number, actually, of people who tried to put together comments and suggestions about exactly the nature of the legislation and so on. So in terms of listening to the science, I mean, this is my role, and one of the things that Justice Elena Kagan wrote as part of the dissent was that, you know, whatever else this court may know about it does not have a clue about how to address climate change. And I think that's generally true. And so the politicians and their staffers and the Supreme Court have to listen to their staffers in order to get good advice on the science aspects. But in this case, they actually violated the science. They didn't give any help towards the whole issue of climate change and how to curb the power plant carbon dioxide emissions.
So this broad deregulation is happening despite warnings from the IPCC that climate change is intensifying and unprecedented. How do you think this ruling will further exacerbate climate change?
Well, it doesn't help the U.S. position. I mean, I was quite impressed with everything that the Biden administration started out to do with a number of the appointments of secretaries and also John Kerry to go across a lot of the portfolios of individual secretaries. And that's one of the issues, you see, because climate change doesn't just involve EPA or DOE or the science agencies, NSF and NOAA and so on. It also involves international trade and tariffs and many other things. And so how you pull all of this together across a whole government was something that had never been tried before, but it was attempted under the Biden administration, but they've been hamstrung by not having an adequate majority in the Senate. And, you know, there's one person in particular, a guy called Manchin from West Virginia, who has a huge amount of fossil fuel funding, who has blocked a lot of the attempts to make progress. And so the Congress is certainly not making much progress at the moment. Whether this and maybe other aspects will cause a change to occur in the election coming up, the off-year election every 2 years in the U.S. in November, and it'll change that balance sufficiently to allow the Biden administration to make progress, remains to be seen. So that would sort of be the hope here, but the politics is just awful.
So what do you think the overarching intent is behind gutting the EPA of these powers? What is the end goal for Republicans?
In general, it's anti-regulatory. They seem to prefer to have unbridled capitalism, in which case each company is making profits and lining their own pockets, but not with a larger view as to what should happen in any individual state or in the country, and certainly not on a global basis. I suppose you might call that a socialized aspect of things. But, you know, as a climate scientist, I'm very much aware that we have the global atmosphere, and it's a global commons. Anyone can dump stuff into the atmosphere and do. In fact, we all do, because we breathe and we put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and it gets shared amongst everyone. And so it's one of the things where we need to work together on this. But there's no global governance. There's no United Nations is a fairly weak body in that regard, and three major countries, China, Russia, and the U.S., don't recognize the international court system, and so there's no international framework other than these occasional meetings, the so-called Conference of Party meetings that occur every year under the auspices of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, that tries to bring the countries together. And, you know, maybe also through the G7 is another mechanism whereby the most important countries or the most powerful countries around the world can try to put something in place and then the rest of the country sort of have to go along because of peer pressure. And so the international politics are not great in this regard, and I think the leadership from the U.S. and probably China, along with Europe, would be sufficient to really come to grips with the climate change question, but that's still not happening at this point.
So where does that leave the EPA now? What kind of power or function remains within the agency after this ruling?
Oh, well, there's quite a lot of other rules and regulations that they can work under, and the Clean Air Act that was actually put together by a Republican President Nixon, I think it was 1962, is still in place. There's a lot of things in there, though, that this latest ruling from the Supreme Court could potentially be applied to, because originally it dealt mostly with what you might call pollution. And, you know, we often think of that as sort of, say, smog forming pollution and visible pollution, whereas carbon dioxide is not visible, but it is still not natural to have the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that we have now. It's not part of the natural cycle. And the trouble is carbon dioxide has a very long lifetime. So in that sense, it has passed a number of tests, but it's not clear that that it will pass all tests in the current Supreme Court framework. And so the EPA can still do quite a lot, and there's a certain amount that can be done by the administration, the Biden administration as a whole, but their hands are certainly tied behind their back, and it'll be interesting to see whether this makes much difference. And of course, in Europe, the problems with the Ukraine-Russian conflict have limited their ability to really make major progress, and they've just passed a regulation or something to say that that gas is acceptable, which doesn't help the overall goals or the long-term goals for addressing climate change.
So, just finally, do you think that Democrats are campaigning with enough urgency when it comes to climate change ahead of the midterm elections?
It's hard to tell from here, but it will spin up a lot in the next few months. But already they've had the primaries to select their candidates, and there's a huge amount of money involved. The Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court back in, when was it, 2011, I don't think New Zealanders have any concept of how much money is involved and the millions of dollars that are spent on lobbying and very misleading advertising often. And so it's very difficult to see just how this is going to pan out. And, you know, the number of people that are really deciding these in off-year elections, I don't know what the number is, 30% of the people vote, or is probably lucky if it's that many. And so that's the mission, certainly, of the Democrats, to get the people out to vote. And now they've got, I think, three major issues, including guns as a major issue, I think.
That was Kevin Trenberth, honorary academic in the Department of Physics at Auckland University.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.